Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season. What a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season. Go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season. Ha 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 ha.
Hey, welcome to Bit Season, everyone. Episode 181. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez. We're doing this a day early today since I will be out of pocket heading to vacation number 10 on the year for me, Drabby.
Where are you headed?
Smith's Beach. It's on the mouth of...
Never heard of it.
It's the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay. It's east of Virginia Beach. So it's a nice, secluded...
So is that
lovely beach
south
town
of Ocean City? Below
very, very, very south. We're talking mouth of Virginia.
Oh, this is like a northern neck thing?
I don't know what northern neck is.
I don't really know either. It's down there, down south somewhere. On the Chesapeake, not on the ocean.
Right, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
All right, Smith Island. You going
Smith Beach.
Smith Beach. All right.
Island is a silly layered dessert that you can get.
Oh, on Smith Beach?
There are places on Smith's Beach that make Smith Island cake. But I know, very confusing. 60 Minutes actually did a piece on Smith's Island. Did you know that?
Is this the island where 200 people live on
Yes,
it?
Yes. There's no...
Okay.
There's no police force. No, this isn't the island I'm going to. Smith Island is the one I was telling you
okay.
about.
Okay. All right.
But yes. I know, very, very confusing.
All right, well, welcome to Bit Season. I don't know if it's coming out today or tomorrow at its regular time.
We'll put it out today.
But hope everyone's having a great week. We are in the throes of Terry McLaurin mania still here on the Junkies. Hey, I want to give you props on the assembly of the Terry-o-meter. I thought you did a great job of, we stole it from Glenn Clark. Valdez and I have been kicking around for like a year or two. I think we just forgot about it earlier this summer.
We would have done it earlier.
But Glenn Clark, our buddy up in Baltimore, did it a couple of years ago with the Lamar-o-meter. Mm-hmm. And I think we gave Glenn credit, at least on the show, or at least on social media.
I think we complimented him. Because I was a guest on Glenn's radio show yesterday.
And... Glenn did this thing every day for the summer, for whenever it was going on, of Lamar requesting the trade, and he would give
his contract talk
percentage of Lamar being a Raven in the future, whatever his, and he changed it every single day.
You know what was funny is when I did his hit, he said the premise was, will Lamar start week one for the Ravens?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what our premise was? Will Terry start week one for the Commanders?
All right.
It was basically an exact ripoff, except we used different materials to create the meter. Let's get back to my praise. Then.
Yeah. I thought you did a good job of, you had a vision that was a little different than Glenn's, but I thought it looked good. And at least appropriate for a radio show, to kill in time with a bit. Now, I will say, I think you and I were a little, I don't know, we try not to have expectations on stuff like this because it was also just like a side thing that we kind of threw in there. But behind the scenes, we know the guys are burnt out about it, about talking about Terry. But we are trying to come up with fresh ideas on it. We know we have to talk about it. So... just trying to bring a different perspective to it. Fresh angle.
Can I be a little more blunt? I was very disappointed in all of it.
Okay. Well, you did say, give it to me. I'm going to throw it in the trash.
I had a different vision in mind when we put it together. I thought it looked very good with also it looking campy as well. It's all making fun of itself. We understand the guys are burnt out about talking Terry. And by the way, that's a whole nother topic that that I could get into. The guys beg and plead for something to talk about in the summer, and you have a star player who requests a trade and is in the throes of a tumultuous contract negotiation, and the guys can't be bothered with talking about it. But that's a whole nother, that's a no other side quest that you could get into. But the whole point of this is recognizing the absurdity of having to detail every little newsworthy item that comes out during the Terry talk, the Terry negotiations. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
This is a way to break up the monotony. This is a way to kind of laugh at ourselves. It's a way of making this more enjoyable.
Well, here's what you got to do. You got to play the game a little bit, okay? And sometimes I get a little frustrated. We didn't talk about this much, you and I, behind the scenes, but that Bickle or the guys in Lurch yesterday, they don't play the game. And there's a nuance to it. I'm not talking about doing fake radio bits, but you have to lean into stuff every once in a while. We can't do a segment where Cakes, and we knew it had to be Cakes, right?
Right.
This is if you guys really want to go behind the glass, and this is not funny stuff, but this is just kind of like assembling the show and putting stuff together. All right, so Valdez and I, we have this idea. Oh, let's break out the Terry-o-meter. Let's go to the store. Let's buy the supplies. And make this Terry-o-meter and kill a segment, and every once in a while we can refer back to it.
It's right. Kinda, it's like a callback. It's like the draft big board.
Yes,
it's exactly
right.
Like that.
We know it's just something stupid that we can refer back to and say, oh, you were wrong. Here is your percentage, all that kind of stuff, right? You have to play along.
And also, we would expect the percentages to just change daily. That's part of the game I think you're getting at.
There's a nuance to it, and you don't want to like lie and do fake radio bits, right? But you got to play along. You got to help tell the story. You got to give ability for change throughout this thing. So Cakes unveils it and says, here's the Terry-o-meter, 0% to 100%. This meter is going to change on a daily basis or so on how I feel that Terry will be starting for the Commanders in week one.
Yes, as news changes, my percentages will change. Now, it will go is kind as of the a, wind blows.
Cakes is also kind of a donk because he immediately turned it almost all the way to the right and then dialed it back a tiny bit to 85%. Okay, fine. If you want to start there, I don't have that big of a gripe. But then Bickle and Lurch, first of all, we wanted to give it to Cakes because I already knew what Eric and Jason were going to say. They weren't going to finesse the segment at all. They weren't going to ponder it. They just blew it off and said, well, it's 100%. This is stupid. Why? Basically, what they're saying is, why are we doing this? It's 100%. This is a waste of time.
And when you read between the lines, that was very upsetting. Like, we're not trying to put words in your mouth. But this is for you to expand your horizon on it. This is for you to
just keep an open mind.
Yes, to keep an open mind. We're not saying we want you to think a certain way. This is a prop to help generate discussion about something. Like you can't have a discussion about something if you think it's so set in stone, and just the no sell of it. It made it very frustrating.
I will always go back to the people, even though we're doing it day in and day out, everyone's tired of it. And it's just like, how many times can you say the same things over and over and over again? Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create with something new. And I know that people are listening for the junkies and not for the listeners, right? But the junkies just want to sit back and take calls on it all the time because it's easy. So they don't have to keep repeating what they say over and over and over again.
If you notice, I will point out a trend that's been going on in the show. If you've noticed, the later and later that we've gotten into the Terry talk stuff, it's been 4 or 5 minutes, then eject. Like I think they've reached their quota on it. But as a show, I mean, it's the biggest local sports story that we have to cover. We have to realize that we're not doing a show for ourselves. And even though we appreciate a lot of the listeners that listen to every single segment of the show, you know,
it's a small percentage
of you guys.
Those are your dialed in P1s. Most people aren't doing that. We're just trying to get you for 15 minutes at a time, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys aren't, Bickle and Lurch aren't going to play along. And it's kind of like, well, why are we?
Well, what's the point of this?
Why are we trying so hard if nobody cares? And that's the stuff that bothers me. The Terry thing is fine, or the meter thing is fine, I guess, whatever. But when Bish says, I had to kind of eject myself, Matt, because I was getting a little frustrated because I'm talking to them and I'm like, well, you guys called it a non-story all summer. This is clearly a story. And I said, then why did we talk about it all summer? And Jason basically said, to kill time.
Yeah, that was.
And we've talked about this before. Nothing frustrates me more than the junkies sitting here thinking they're just killing time.
That's a wrong. It's a wrong attitude to have.
It's a wrong attitude to have because they're paid very well to perform to do a service. And people are, yeah, it's entertaining. I guess your entire life is killing time until you die. If that's the way you want to look at things, I guess that's fine. Then everything you're doing is killing time. But I still think that this job is important and what we do is important and people like it. And so you have to try your best. You can't just have the attitude of I'm just killing time. Pay me my money.
Right.
And sometimes that's how I think the junkies view the show.
The thing that was most upsetting, and you know, maybe we screwed up and we didn't present it to them.
Presented it to Cakes. Fine. That's why we handed it off to Cakes to take the lead.
Maybe we should have talked about it with them beforehand. Maybe we should have told them our expectations. But the really disheartening part about all of this. Is,
it wasn't that disheartening.
I was,
you've said very upsetting
I
and
was,
disheartening.
I don't think we're on that level.
It was a little annoying.
It was annoying that we spent our time talking it over, getting the supplies, putting it together just for it to be completely no-sold.
Yeah.
That's annoying. Right?
Well, yeah, I said it was a little annoying. The supplies and building stuff or whatever, that's part of the job. So you want them to just get excited about something.
Yes.
Whether it's a tarometer or something else, you want them to care about putting on a good show. And a lot
they're
just clocking in, clocking out.
I'm having legit trouble trying to find out what they're excited about. I'm really having a hard time with that. I don't know how to delight them.
It's hard. I mean, it is definitely hard in August when you're talking football all the time and you're talking about the same thing over and over and over again. So there are times, even though the job's fun, most days are pretty great. It's still a grind sometimes, even for us in the back room. Let's talk about another show that's jumped the shark, pal.
Okay. What a transition.
Howard Stern.
When I saw this yesterday, my jaw dropped to the floor.
Really?
Yes.
Dropped to the floor?
I think I just lost track of time, and I didn't realize his deal was coming.
How long can this scam continue that Howard was running?
What, where he finds a company
he was renewing for half a billion dollars every 5 years.
I don't know how profitable his show is. I would love to see the books on his show and what it generates in terms of ad revenue and subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously
it worked for a while. They had the numbers. They renewed him several times.
Right,
he's been on Sirius for 20 years almost.
I also have a theory that there's, with any kind of statistic, you can figure out a way to skew it in your favor.
Uh-huh.
So I think maybe there was some of that going on with Sirius and Sirius XM. But I don't know if this is Howard getting fired, Howard not getting renewed, Howard retiring. I'm not sure which is which. And there's a difference with all three of those.
Well, Howard always drags out these contract negotiations and he makes them public. And he does this whole thing of like, oh, I don't know if I want to keep doing this anymore. And that's just right. I mean, 71 years old. I don't know if I would want to keep doing it if I was that wealthy and I had limited time left.
I think,
but it's always a big spectacle, contract negotiation.
I actually think this is the company doing the spectacle before Howard can do it.
But isn't Howard owed? I don't think Howard deserved this story.
No, this should.
And if I was Howard, I'd be pretty upset because I've given my life to this industry. I've helped create countless memories for people, made people very, very wealthy. I should be leaving on my terms. And if I'm not leaving on my terms, and if I can no longer be a worthwhile investment for you, then let me be the one. Like, let's have a private thing, and you say, Howard, we're not going to renew your contract. We're not interested in bringing you back for even $10 million. We're just going to move in a new direction. Then save me some dignity and let me retire, or say that I'm leaving Sirius.
I think it's a disservice to Howard if he goes out like a fart in the wind. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I feel like it should be one of those great player. Hey, this is my final year. They do the retirement tour where they're going to every stadium and every stadium's mm-hmm. giving them a gift and everything. I feel like that needs to happen and not just poof, he vanishes for a little bit.
Well,
I
mean, he's under contract till the end of the year. I mean,
now. I think it should be a year long thing.
Howard Stern needs a year. I think every day farewell.
What you don't remember is that it's only 3 days a week and he has about 13 weeks of vacation. So
right, no, but
so
even
I think
if
it's really only like 76 shows.
I mean, I think 76 shows is a pretty good farewell.
I don't know. I think you could. I think you have a lot of mileage you can squeeze out of this for a year.
Well,
I need to. This is what I need to see.
If Howard needs more than 76 shows to say goodbye, then he's not ready to retire.
I know, but I need to see. I need to see Beetlejuice come back. I need to see them.
He doesn't want any of that back. That's why the show sucks.
Well, if he's going to ignore what every listener loved about his show in the past, mm-hmm. then he shouldn't be getting a retirement ceremony.
Can I tell you something? I listened to Howard for probably 5 years straight, and I listened to a lot of it. I would listen for like an hour or so a day during my commute or more. Mm-hmm. I never listened to his interviews.
I don't like his interviews.
I just didn't care. Like, I don't really care about celebrity interviews.
I would only listen if I had any interest in the celebrity he was interviewing.
Even then, because I'm not a big music guy, and most of them were music people. It just felt like that.
Yeah, or actors. There's some athletes. Yeah. Like, I was interested in like the Jamie Foxx interview. I remember when he had Hulk Hogan on.
Maybe there was a couple interviews that I heard that I kind of liked. But for the most part, I just wasn't that interested in him. But I was obsessed with the behind the scenes show.
Oh, the drama.
And nobody pulls this puppet strings better than Howard. Right. Getting under people's skin, getting them to do what he wants to do. And they don't even know that he's doing what he wants them to do. The genius behind it.
Drabs. This is what I want you to do today. After you listen to Bitsy's, I want you to type into YouTube. Can I depend on you?
Yeah. Can I depend on you?
That's Drab's favorite Howard Stern bit.
Well, it is funny. I remember you're the one who shared that with me originally and told me that I had to like it. I don't know. I think some of the stuff with Mamet has been great over the last few years or previously. But just pitting the producers against each other and the writers and the staff against each other, nobody did it better. And Big O Dukes was like that a lot with Chad and Oscar. And Chad learned from those guys, and it kind of reminds me a lot of Big on Dukes. Not so much as the Junkies necessarily.
Well, you know
anymore.
Well, you know what changed a lot with Howard is that Howard would be interjected in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But as Howard got older, it was almost like he was the ringmaster, and he was letting other staff do the fighting. When Howard would be right in the middle of it.
Like in the earlier days. Yeah.
Yes, in the earlier days. Uh-huh. He would do that with Jackie. He would do that with Artie. He would do it with a bunch of the other characters.
He's a manipulator.
Yes, he was.
On the air, at least. Yeah.
But he's manipulating other people more so now than being interjected with himself.
Yeah. And Dukes was like that a lot. Dukes would always pit people against each other, and he would be above the fray a lot of times. So Howard and Chad
would be slumming if they went into the ring with all of them.
A lot of the time, yes. Now, not that Chad didn't. I mean, of course, Chad liked to argue and things like that, but he was constantly looking every moment of a possible conflict that he could help water and make it and have the conflict grow and until it boils over and it explodes. That kind of radio, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than the fights. And when you just explode out of nowhere, it's so awkward at the times, but then it's the best. I do wish there was, we've said it before, more of that on the Junkies. We take little pot shots. We are having a good time at JP's expense here. Well, but I think if JP was here, it wouldn't be as fun. It would be
different if he was here. There would be a lot more defending. Right now, it's just it's an open goal, and everyone's just taking their shots. There's no goalie.
Do you think that JP is going to get upset at all of the shots taken at him? Like, I don't think I heard from Kelsey that they enjoyed the first time. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to enjoy the second segment about how he was screaming at them that he's not going to pull over and for them to go to the bathroom.
Why? Because that makes him look like a bad dad. He might try and
like him losing his phone is one thing. Like that's irrelevant. Yeah.
He'll flame his way out of it.
But yeah,
he'll give us some detail that we didn't know.
He'll be prepared and say it was overblown.
Hey, real quick, back to Howard. Do you think so? Let's say they do this retirement tour or whatever. Do you think any of the Whack Pack will be invited during this?
I hope so. Because I haven't even listened that much, and so I didn't know that a lot of those guys haven't been around. Like High Pitch Eric is not around. Is he still alive? He's still alive, I'm sure.
I haven't listened in years, but he hasn't gone to that well as much in the past couple years. I know that. Mm. He's been criticized a lot about making segments and entertainment on the backs of the Whack Pack, and you're basically using them while just supplying them with booze. Or any no money whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, when you make enough money, people are going to question.
Yes.
Are always going to take shots of that. But really, it's not. Would you say it's that the Junkies have been criticized for their treatment of Bruce the Hugger? If you're an old school listener, right? Bruce the Hugger would be considered a Whack Packer.
Definitely.
Okay. Somebody with mental disabilities Valdez was you know what I always bothered me
what
I'll tell you what always bothered me this is we're going back like 10 years. I hope you guys have all listened to the Junkies for a long time and you know what we're talking about, but Bruce hasn't been on in at least 5 years, probably.
It's been a while. Yeah,
if not more,
probably more.
You would always write Bruce's zing at the end of the show on Thursdays.
I would, yes.
Uh-huh. And you would write it, and then you would tell me what to say to Bruce?
I would write it down, yeah. And then we would go over together how to simplify it, because Bruce had problems with longer zings, like putting it all together.
Yeah.
Like, we would have to punch the script up.
I liked it when Bruce would zing the guys on the show. But every once in a while, you would write these zings that would take shots at Bruce, Bruce's mental capabilities. And it always, like, I would always get so rick at you whenever you would do that. Because I felt like that was, like, crossing the line.
Are you standing up for Bruce right now?
No, I just am. Well, I don't know. We're just talking about that. Got me thinking about the Whack Packer stuff. It would have to be in context, but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, it's all encompassing.
I've always felt like that was going to get us in trouble. Like, we could have Bruce on stuttering and stammering and laughing at him and playing the turkey sound effects and everything, but yeah. I always felt like you were going to be the one to ruin
to cancel the junkies.
To cancel the junkies with your Bruce zings about his felted brain. And I would always try to steer you off of those as well. Did you know, I mean, we always heard that, like, people were not happy that Bruce was coming on the show. We had heard from people like at Bruce's church and things like that. Bruce, that they were angry that we had Bruce on because they felt like we were making fun of him.
It wasn't even about it was just having him on, period. People were angry about it.
Right. But I think, it was kind of like an inside joke. But also at the same time, we love Bruce. Like, we really, really love Bruce.
And Bruce looked forward to it.
Yeah, I've lost Bruce. I don't know where he is. I need a social worker from Maryland to help me find Bruce.
He's not in that place
anymore?
No,
they've moved him. Oh, my God. They moved him someplace else. I called them. They didn't know where he was. Somebody can find him. I just kind of I've given up. I've hit the pause button for now. Trying to find what facility Bruce is at.
Where was he before?
Somewhere in Maryland. He was in Clinton. Clinton Nursing Home. He's no longer there. The people I've talked to don't know where he's at. It's very frustrating because I would love to see Bruce. And I would love for Bruce. Bruce deserves a goodbye.
Yeah, of course.
He deserves his whack pack goodbye moment.
I know.
Yeah.
Christmas show.
Maybe. All right, we got a couple months to find Bruce. All right, Valdez, let's take a quick break. I know there's some. We want to get into Cakes being a donk, just an absolute donk.
Yes.
About something he said this week,
and then also we need a little more discussion on JP. Mm-hmm. And his drive from Switzerland to Italy.
Okay.
And then I guess that'll wrap up our JP vacation segments, unless we get some more info from Kelsey. But I gotta let you know, this episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep. Show your support for Drabby and myself by heading to don'tsleepenergy.com right now. When you get there, use that promo code Bitties to save 10% on every single order, not just your first one. Need a quick boost to get you through a workout? Pound a 2 ounce energy shot. Need to stay ready in case your wife calls you into action unexpectedly, Drabby? Get a 12-ounce sugar-free can. Throw some swag in your cart before you check out. And remember, don't sleep. It makes you great. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Bit Season, episode 181. An early edition Bit Season. Wednesday edition Bit Season. Hey, we mentioned it, but we got to talk about Cakes being a donkey and being in a box. This came at the end of the show yesterday, Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And we discovered that Cakes doesn't know much about the female anatomy and female biology.
Not that surprising, to be honest. Cakes. But it was, I mean, it was a Bickle level stupid comment from Cakes, or an insight into his brain. And actually, it's maybe even something, even Bickle couldn't be that foolish, I don't think.
I will say, even though I knew his claim to be false, I did do one of those Lonzo Mourning, shake your head, GIF things, and be like, okay, I can see how you thought that.
Well, take me through how you thought he would do that.
Well, so Cakes basically thought.
How did it even come up? Sydney Sweeney? Were we talking about Sydney Sweeney?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Someone brought up ice cream, breast-flavored ice cream.
Breast milk-flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
And, by the way, everyone said that's Drab's favorite flavor.
Why was I pinned as the breast milk guy? I didn't really understand that.
I didn't understand that either. All the people, why are you breast milk?
I don't know. Aren't you the jugs guy?
I guess I am.
Am I just the fetish guy on the show?
Anything fetish related?
Yeah,
belongs
I'm
to you.
I'm the fet life guy. All right, I guess
that's an awful thing to.
I mean, that's just terrible. I mean, I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason for that.
I want to make this commentary real quick before we talk more about Cakes. If that's your fetish, you might want to reevaluate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good one to have. You've gone through the entire internet. If that's a fetish of yours.
Now, I did have a claim to fame. Maybe it's because I had the claim that, not the claim, that I once or numerous times would drizzle ice cream as on the body.
I know.
All right.
Maybe that's where it came from. Combine ice cream with erotic pleasure.
Yeah. Maybe that's where it came from.
Yeah, I know, but Eric
didn't know that. Yeah,
I know. Eric can't remember what he had for dinner. He remembers that,
no.
that you're drizzling Tillamook
carrot cake ice cream.
Yeah,
no, I don't think so.
But anyways, so cakes thought that a woman who's breastfeeding her child can only breastfeed her child because of the DNA match between the two. Am I summing that up correctly?
Yeah, that a child would basically reject any milk that was not his mother's.
Yes. They would spit it out, or it wouldn't taste good. It needs to be a perfect match. Like, there needs to be an X and a Y.
Now that I'm hearing it again,
it's not that far. You can understand where he went.
I was going to say, now that I'm hearing it again, it's even dumber than I heard it the first time. It's one of the dumbest things that's been said on this show in history. It makes no sense. Cakes is an idiot, and I actually think less of you now, Valdez, for even pondering this. Do you guys, I know you don't have children, but you don't have to have children to even remotely think about that. Eric was blown away that women could package their milk up and freeze it and sell it.
I didn't know that.
It's like a side hustle type thing.
See, I didn't know that. I thought, I didn't know.
Let me ask you, did you not know that not every woman out there can breastfeed?
Yes, I knew that.
Did you? Okay. How do you think these babies were surviving all these generations?
No. I'm not saying I
didn't
know.
No, take me through it. If you want to ponder it more.
Well, or
put me in Cakes' brain. How are these babies surviving all this time?
I know that's not what Cakes thought. Cakes was trying to do some sort of biological acceptance. Like you have a taste for your own family's milk. Like that's where I thought Cakes' brain was going.
No, he said the word DNA.
I know. That is above and beyond.
Let me ask you. Have you ever heard of a wet nurse?
Yes, I know what a wet nurse is.
All right.
I'm not that dumb. I was trying to figure out how Cakes got to that point.
Sometimes you don't have to figure it out. Sometimes you just go, wow, man, that guy just completely missed those lessons in school. Or he just has a tremendous blind spot in that part of his life.
Yes, I know that someone else can breastfeed another child. I know formula is universal.
Okay.
And isn't.
How does Cakes not know this? Throw formula out, because that should have been his answer.
You know what?
Immediately.
You know what? I'll tell you exactly why. It's because Cakes has had an all-time blind spot for women's biology. And I'll give you an example.
All right. Yes. I need more examples.
All right. Do you remember when Cakes and Amy had intercourse? All right. And they realized that they made a whoopsie daisy. All right. And then
what is that?
Cream pie.
Okay.
All right. I was trying.
I thought so.
I didn't want to be that vulgar.
I gotcha. Okay.
And then a couple of days go by, and then they're discussing what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Cakes made Amy take multiple birth control pills multiple days afterwards.
Oh, yeah,
he figured that if you double down on the dosage a couple of days later, mm-hmm.
Hey, why don't we have a sex ed or test?
We should. A women's biology sex ed test?
Yeah, because Cakes, I mean, he might just be an absolute stunning buffoon when it comes to the women's body.
So, don't you think that's a prime example of him not knowing anything? Do you know what we need to do? This is what we need to do. We need to print out a picture of a vagina. All right. And we should have him label the different parts of the vagina.
Hey, I thought of cakes last night. I was doom scrolling and I saw this reel. Now this might be TMI, but I saw this reel of this guy. He went, his wife or his girlfriend asked him to go to the store to get pads with wings. Okay. and this guy came home with pads and chicken wings. And she was like completely befuddled, and I was thinking, this is probably cakes. Cakes would do something like this.
Do you remember the scene of the 40-year-old virgin mm-hmm. when Steve Carell takes the daughter of the girl he's dating yep. to the sex ed mm-hmm. class or shop,
yep.
and then he's sitting there examining the uterus and vulva and everything, and he's asking a bunch of questions.
Yep.
That might be cakes.
Thank God for Amy Hauville.
I know.
Or cakes might be the 55-year-old virgin.
Well, it's obvious that cakes pawns Juliet off to Amy mm-hmm. to do all the womanly stuff. Right, and Cakes just buries his head in the sand. That has to be what's going on, right?
Yeah, I just
like. Can you imagine? This is going to be gross. But can you imagine if Cakes as a parent and Juliet gets her
all right, first, stop. You're going to make me vomit.
I'm not trying to make you vomit, okay. But it's. I mean, that's going to happen with your children at someday.
I understand. I don't want to think about Cakes' daughter.
I know, but what I'm saying is Cakes would be the person who would be ill prepared for that situation.
Yes,
he wouldn't know how to explain it. He wouldn't know what to do.
I just don't understand how Cakes. He said, Cakes will sometimes volunteer information. Like that, where he thinks other people are going to be on his side. He did it like a month ago. I can't remember what it was. Where he goes, I can't believe I'm just learning this. And then he just says something so simple and understood to every other person out there but him. I just don't know how he didn't know that. I don't know.
Maybe it's a lock Amy didn't breastfeed, right? If he doesn't know.
No, I would think that she did. I would think that she did. And that's all she did, you know. He just never, like, he's in a box. Cakes is in a box. I don't know. He never had any curiosity about how the whole thing works.
Well, I don't have that much curiosity.
Well, you got to know a little bit about a lot about these.
That's the staple of the show.
All right.
I can tell you're grossed out by this already.
Well, I'm not grossed out by the milking conversation to where the road you were going down.
I was talking about Cakes' female acuity.
I got you.
I know.
All right, what else did you want to say about JP's trip over the mountains?
Oh, there's a couple of things I want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
JP's nonchalant attitude towards bringing cash on this trip when mm-hmm. it's well known that when you travel to Europe, you need to have cash on you. Especially when you're going from country to country. I thought that, and the guys told him that. They specifically told him, hey, how much cash are you bringing? You
know? What would be his opposition to carrying cash?
I don't know. He's just in a box. He never really has cash on him to begin with. Everything's card related, and you can't do that when you're going overseas.
Now, is it possible that there was a currency exchange issue?
I mean, that's possible.
So he's in Switzerland.
You're supposed to do that in the airport. Aren't you supposed to do that
in
the
airport?
No,
but he's driving. So say he's in Switzerland for like whatever it was, 3 or 4 days, and he actually does have cash. He's using the franc or whatever it's called, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't believe Switzerland's a member of the EU. He drives over the mountains into Italy, and he doesn't have the euro to buy stuff over there. At a random gas station on the side of the road or wherever.
Well,
that's
poor planning. You should be able to get some euros to have in reserve. You're at the.
I understand. I'm just maybe he was.
I know
caught
you're playing
with his
devil's
pants
at. I don't think he was caught with his pants down.
You thought
I think,
that he just went over.
I
there
think
and
he
he's
just
swiping
went
the credit card the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say this, Valdez, as a European traveler myself,
okay,
who again went to Spain last year. I don't think at any point I had any cash. I don't think. I might be.
You swiped the entire time?
No, if I did, I think I used American money. I think they got a slice for American money.
They all get slice for American money.
The dollar. I'm pretty sure if I did. Yeah, because I remember paying guys off in Morocco with money. Like I was buying their dumb S on the side of the road.
Okay.
With dollars.
And they were getting sized.
Yeah, I mean, you at least care have some American currency with you.
I also think it went over their head that people in Europe do not like Americans. Like, I think they think everything's hunky dory when they're in Switzerland, when, you know, they're trying to tariff them to death. And then the same thing in Italy. I just don't think people.
I actually think that, I mean, they're probably fine with it in a place that most travelers would go to.
Okay. So you're saying.
JP, keep in mind, JP's not, I mean, where he's at in Switzerland was, but he's in the mountains of Trivola or wherever he is. He's like in his grandfather's village. He's in a bunch of villages. There's no tourists in these places. These are just leftover Italians living their lives.
That's even more.
They probably don't even deal with American tourists.
That's even more reason why they have a hairy eyeball, because they're going the road less traveled to this place.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm starting to talk myself into agreeing with JP a little bit about telling you to hold it, as because you don't want to get out and interact with these people that don't like you.
You can't tell an 8-year-old to hold it. You just can't. And you can't tell anyone to hold it.
That's also
you
true.
Can't, huh? you, I mean, we've all been in a position. We all, as
hey,
adults.
Hey, can you watch? Hey, watch the board. I got to wave.
But why would JP be in such a hurry? And it wasn't having to deal with other people. JP's in a hurry. He has a time in his brain that he wants to get there. And he doesn't want anything to slow him down. That sounds miserable to me.
Do you think maybe he told his cousins or whoever, hey, we're going to be there by 6?
Right, exactly.
And he's already maybe running 30 minutes an hour late.
As if anyone would care.
I know. Yeah, now, isn't it called European time or something?
JP's got he's a numbers guy. Everything's got to be exact. So if he gets behind, it's that side of his brain is just going to melt down.
It sounds like the worst trip in the world.
Now, look, on other trips, I've been on trips with these guys before. You know, it's been a few years, but you guys have all remembered the trips to spring training or the trips to the Super Bowl. JP usually is the most chill out of all the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
EB and Lurch are a nightmare, and Cakes has all these... I don't know, like terrorism things, and Cakes is usually pretty good too, and he goes along with the flow. But JP was always my travel buddy. I never got this vision or version of JP punching the screen and screaming at everybody in the car. I've never seen that on a trip with JP.
If you had to do not a Super Bowl trip or spring training trip, I'm talking about a European vacation where you're a week and a half, 2 weeks over there. You're traveling from country to country, taking the train, doing the whole touristy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which junkie would you want to be your sidekick during this vacation?
JP. JP by far. Because the other guys aren't going to want to do anything. That's miserable to me. If I'm over traveling to Europe, I want to go experience things. I'm different than you and Bickle. You guys just want to sit on the lounger all day and drink beers and get like JP's an adventure. I actually respect that about
hold
JP.
Hold on, that's false. When I'm at the beach, that's what I like doing. But I know that if I'm in Europe, I'm there to broaden my horizons. Mm-hmm. I'm there to be cultured. I'm there
to... All right, well, maybe you would, but the other guys...
I'm there to sightsee. I'm there to knock off things on my checklist, my European checklist.
Lurch might be second, but he would, you know, because he's done these things before, and he's been to Rome and all that kind of stuff, and he'll see the sights, but he complains. You know, like he's not going to be in a cheerful mood. Bickle would be dead last by a thousand times over.
I can't think of anyone who I
it'd be the
I
worst.
He's
the worst travel companion in the world. He's so slow. He's so frustrated. Everything's annoying to him. Everything's the end of the world.
Hey, we're gonna go see the Colosseum.
The guy's got zero intellectual curiosity. I mean, he would be the worst.
Why Cakes not number one?
Cakes also doesn't have any curiosity.
I know, but I feel like...
Like, Cakes will go along with the flow, but Cakes is not going to get excited to go see sightseeing. He wants to gamble or something. Like, that's just not my kind of guy.
There's no casinos in Italy.
Even if I went to... give me an American city.
Nashville.
Okay, well, Nashville's known for their bars and things like that.
Okay,
if I went to San Antonio,
okay,
I would want to go see the Alamo.
Right.
Cakes would not. He'd want to sit in his hotel room. I would want to go to the Riverwalk and check it out. I like to see things. JP would go with me, yeah, and we would see those things together. The other guy, they just would have no interest in that.
Here's my counter to that is I think JP would be two, Cakes would be one, Eric would be dead last, Jason would be third. And the reason I would put Cakes number one is I feel like you could bully him into your itinerary.
Yeah, but you know he's not happy.
He would pretend. I feel like
he would probably pretend. He would pretend that, yeah, he's all in it.
Like if I made an itinerary mm-hmm. for us in the Vatican City. All right.
Yeah.
To go to that and whatever. I'm not Catholic, but I would be interested in a mass in Vatican City. Like mm-hmm. that would be appealing to me. I feel like if I did,
would you stand in line for endless hours to go? You know.
Yeah, I would.
Into the Basilica.
Yeah, I would. I would.
You would.
Yes. Right. I've mentally prepared myself that I'm here to visit.
Suck it up and stand in line for hours at a time, like you're at Disneyland. Okay. Yes. All right.
I've mentally prepared myself mm-hmm. for that, and I feel like JP would have his own itinerary, and I could dictate the itinerary with him.
Yeah, okay, that is more fair.
And I could bully him into doing all the stuff
that
I want.
How did Kelsey set the itinerary? How did that happen?
We went over this.
How did that happen?
It's the machismo thing.
Oh, machismo. Yeah, okay, but why would JP have his own itinerary if that doesn't play into his machismo?
Because it's two dudes going.
Okay, so someone's got
to
do it.
Yeah. So someone has to do it. So JP's, mm-hmm. you know, okay. he's the one that has to. Mm. Like, I know Cakes wouldn't want to go visit old churches or whatever in Florence. I know he wouldn't want to do that.
Oh, could you imagine being in Rome with Bickle? Oh, oh, the guy would be so many, the shuffling of the feet and this the groaning about how tired his legs are.
Hold on. I've been 76 days without drinking. I'm not going to have wine with dinner.
He would be leaning against every pillar.
Against Pisa.
Just leading so tower frustrated.
Bickle, leading tower of Bickle.
Oh my gosh. It'd be miserable.
Why does Michelangelo have such a tiny cock? God.
All right.
Can you imagine? Oh, we gotta go to the Louvre.
Yeah, he would be an absolute nightmare. Well, last thing I wanted to bring up, Valdi, is a little bit of a shorter show this week because we're doing it early and we got a lot of stuff to do today. We briefly touched on entertainment today, but I had some radio nostalgia when Brooke Hogan called into Bubba's show. Yeah. And I don't know if everyone appreciated the power of radio or the power of broadcasting in live, in the moment, where Bubba didn't, and I've never really listened to Bubba, right? I've never, just not, hasn't been my thing.
I've listened to Bubba.
Only in radio can something like that happen, where I just thought it was also cool that, like, they hadn't talked in 15 years or whatever it'd been. And Brooke could have done any interview. She could have done 60 minutes, anything.
You're really hung up on that, is that
she
chose Bubba's show over.
She could have been paid, $250,000 to do an interview on any, whatever, Joe Rogan. She could have gone on Joe Rogan's show and done the interview. But she called Bubba's show off the cuff. She said she saw the phone number on the to call in number. So she just called it. That's old school, Valdez.
Do you know what?
That's theater of the mind.
Do you know what? This is what I like about it, is that it also proves that in this industry, in this business, in radio, that you never know what the day is going to bring you.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what news is going to break.
You never know who's listening.
You never know who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's kind of romantic to me.
It was romantic and nostalgic at the same time, because I don't really remember who's called in to the Junkies before. I'm sure people have, but you've heard about it on other shows, or you're talking about someone and then they call in. I don't know. I remember this one time Dukes was talking about. I mentioned Dukes a lot recently.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Looking for a new co-host?
No. But just conversation, spur memories. Dukes was talking about, there was a former player on the Redskins. His name's Trey Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And Dukes was talking about how big this guy's cock was in the locker room. It was an impression that Dukes, this was on the radio, and Dukes was just talking about how big of a hog this guy had. And Dukes was, I don't know, 20 years. I don't even know why Dukes was in the locker room. Okay. I have no idea why. When he was young and just starting out in radio.
Is this WJFK days?
Yeah, okay. JFK days.
Okay.
Radio, Washington's talk superstation.
Okay.
And I think the Junkies or maybe CK sent him into the locker room to get audio one time. So Dukes was recapping this like 10 years later.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about he'll never forget how big Trey Johnson's hog was. And then Trey Johnson's wife was listening to the show and called in. And it was like the funniest radio, dude. And you just, it was nostalgic to that. It's like, you never know who's listening or who's going to call in or be moved by your story. I don't know. I just kind of, I liked it. I thought it was cool that Brooke called him, and she didn't have to do that.
Is it me or, like, you haven't heard from Brooke in a while, too. That was kind of cool.
Well, she's been posting on Instagram. She's been posting on Instagram, but that's it.
Oh.
About Hulk and stuff like that. But
Well, she's been off the radar. Remember, she used to be like in the Perez Hilton rags all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I didn't even recognize. When I see pictures of her, she doesn't look the same, so. The Hogan death has affected me. I don't know why, but
you
it has.
Really it, have been talking about it a lot.
I don't know why. It's bumming me out, dude. Just because I think that family's been in the spotlight. Like Ozzy Osbourne, it meant nothing to me. No offense, but like
it's already,
and they were just
as
famous. Two famous reality show families.
Out of sight, out of mind to you.
It's just because I like wrestling. Yes. Ozzy Osbourne never meant anything to me because I didn't listen to his music. Not no offense to anybody who's a big Black Sabbath fan.
Hey, we found out that Drab is the biggest wrestling mark in the world this week.
I'm not the biggest wrestling mark, but I do have a lot of fond memories.
Number one, Mike Marr calls you Mr. WrestleMania now.
No, I told Marr I'm Mr. WrestleMania. Don't forget it, because I've been to 5 WrestleManias. And he didn't believe that people called me that.
And then you had to explain Brock Lesnar to the
Junkies,
to the Junkies this week.
Yeah.
You're wrestling.
Big wrestling mark.
Your wrestling credentials are out of this world.
All right, guys. Shorter show this week, but hope everyone has a great week, rest of the week, and good weekend. And we will see you back after Valdez's trip to Smith Beach.
That's right.
All right.
See you guys.
Bye.